Lamentations chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 5. If you're in need of a Bible, please just get the usher's attention. They're walking down the aisle with the purpose of making sure you have a Bible if you need one. So just raise your hand. They'll pass it over to you. If you need to keep it, it's all yours. There is, of course, no charge for it. If you need a Bible, just let them know. And for all of us, we're in the book of Lamentations, chapter 5. We're starting at verse 15. Lamentations 5:15. Where we read, "The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about on it. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us." Their choices, their sin, their rebellion from God had brought them to this place where we joined with the people of Judah this morning. See, they sit there with their lives in ashes, taken captive by their enemy, everything crumbling around them. And the sad thing is, it was their choices that got them where they're at. So now they sit there. Now there's only shame, humiliation. Maybe you know the feeling this morning. Maybe as you sit here, you know right well what they were feeling, because perhaps you also have made some choices that have brought you to a rough place. Decisions that have put place things in your life that you know separate you from Him, have caused there to be a dryness in your walk, allowing places of your lives to get ripped off, coming far short of what God would have. Maybe you know the feeling that Jeremiah is feeling. Maybe you've been in that place. Maybe it's now. If so, then maybe you can relate to where Jeremiah is at when he comes to this place. Maybe you can relate to his plea. Because Jeremiah's plea in the text before us this morning is this: Lord, remember us, restore us, renew us. God, I got myself here, but you got to get me out. Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. But Lord, I know that you're gracious. I know that you're sovereign, and I know you love me. Help me, Lord. See, that's exactly where Jeremiah is at as we come to this final song, this lamentation. We're reading a lamentation here, a prayer, really, from a prophet with a broken heart. In essence, he's saying, Lord, how I long to have it be the way it used to be. Oh, if it could just be like it used to be between you and me. And so he cries out in verse 21, "Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old." I've called our time together this morning, remember, restore, renew. Father, you are the one who searches hearts. And it's very true, no one is here by accident. You've drawn us here. And Lord, you of course know if there's things in our lives that are ripping us off. You know if we've settled for something, if we're allowing something, if we're into something that's not of you. And in your love, Lord, you want to speak to that. You want it to be a morning of healing and forgiveness, restoring and renewing. Lord, have your way. Lord, we don't want to just come to church. We come to you. We're not into churchianity this morning, Lord. We don't want to be all about the outside, Lord. We're here with our hearts open before you. Please, Lord, do whatever you see needs to be done, that we might leave here knowing that you've had your way, that there's nothing blocking that, the pipeline between you and us. Lord, don't let us play at this thing, but help us just with open hearts and open lives say, Lord, have your way. All this we just lift to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lamentations is a book of five chapters, which really are five songs in the original. But they're not songs of cheer and joy. They're songs of mourning and grief. See, they're written by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a man who God had used for some 40 years to warn the people that their rebellion towards God, their sin, their wickedness, was going to bring to them a bitter harvest. That their choices were not going to get them anywhere good. And he'd been faithful to that calling for so long. But now it has come to pass. Just as Jeremiah had said would happen, so it has happened. The land is virtually destroyed. The temple is burnt down. Houses have been destroyed. Most of the people have been killed or taken captive. And there they sit. The few remaining people, Jeremiah and the few remaining ones, sit there in the ashes. Sad thing is, it didn't have to be this way. God had intended good stuff for them. But they thought they knew better. And they went their own way. And they allowed in their life things that wound up ripping them off. And so it is for many a person. God had better for you. But you thought you knew better. And so you got into that thing. You went that direction. You allowed that thing. You thought it would be okay. But just as God said, it brought you to where you're at, maybe even today. Dryness of soul, maybe sitting there in ashes in your life, whatever the consequences might be. As we come to chapter 5 here, we understand that it's a song. But it's also a prayer. It's a cry for restoration and renewal after the effects of sin have ravished them. This morning, let's see what God might have for us in all this. First of all, go back to verse 1 for just a moment. We haven't looked at that, but I'd like to point that out. Chapter 5 here, but go back to verse 1 for just a moment. As the song begins, we see it's a prayer because that's how Jeremiah addresses it. He says, "Remember, O Lord." So he's directing it upwards now. "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Look and behold our reproach." So in the midst of the desolation, in the midst of the consequences of what they've done, the results of what they brought into their life, Jeremiah looks up. He prays, "Remember, O Lord." That is always the right thing to do, the first thing to do. Now, Jeremiah is not implying that God has forgotten them like we kind of think of the word remember. He's simply drawing attention to the situation, and he's looking to God for the help. In the Bible, when people say, "Remember us, O Lord," really it's a call upon God for help. You're calling upon God to act on your behalf. "Remember me, O Lord." In the Bible, it's the word that means act on my behalf. "Help me, God. I'm in the situation. Please remember me. Help me." That's the idea here. Well, in verses 2 through about verses 14, he goes through a time of just speaking of the horrible conditions that they've come to because of their choices. But the reason why they are there, of that, there's no doubt. Let's look at it again. Started there, verse 15 again. "The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of Mount Zion, which is desolate with foxes, walking about on it. In other words, it's destroyed. Just wild animals everywhere. They know that they have brought this condition upon themselves. Verse 16 clearly says it. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Oh, the sad, horrible effects of sin. I can't help wonder sometimes if we don't really understand the depth and the effects of sin. I don't know if very often we see it like the Lord sees it. How different the reality is from what sin promises. They thought all along that it would be okay to make the choices they were making. They thought they knew best for their lives, that they knew better than God. So they gathered prophets to tell them what they wanted to hear. Oh, don't tell us we need to turn. Don't tell us that we need to walk in what God would show us. Let us keep being into all these other things. So they gathered prophets to tell them that they're okay and kind of stroke them and pet them and make them feel good. They had a form of religion. They would go to the temple on Saturday, but the rest of the week they did everything else. They had very divided hearts. They were into worshiping all the false gods of the world, the pagan gods around them, and they had this whole smorgasbord of spirituality going on, thinking, well, that's okay. I've got God in there somewhere, so it's okay. They even laughed at Jeremiah when, in love, he tried to tell them what this was going to get them. They mocked him and scorned him and beat him and throw him in prison because he would have the audacity to say, this is going to get you nowhere good. But now look at him. Look what it says. The joy of our heart is seized. It's not funny anymore. We laughed at him before, but it's not funny anymore. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. That means our honor, our pride, it's all gone. It's shot. Now it's nothing but degradation and humiliation and shame. That's what this had all brought them to. And as it was for them, so it is for us. It's no different today. I know that you thought that she or he or it was what you needed. I know that you really came to believe that if you could just do that thing, get involved in that illicit relationship, start to watch those particular things, start to put things in your body that you shouldn't have, whatever it is. I know you somewhere believe that, oh, but this is going to do it. This is the relationship. This is the activity. This is the thing I need. And then I'll be satisfied. And that's it right there. I'll be whole. I'll be complete. It'll give me peace. I know you believe that. Just like they believed it was okay what they were doing. Of course the enemy told you it was no big deal. Oh, everybody else does it. Matter of fact, a lot of people do things far worse. It's no big deal. And you believed him. Or maybe you knew it was a big deal, but hey, there's grace, there's mercy, God will forgive me. Not understanding the devastation that those things bring, that sin can bring. Of course the enemy convinced you that. It's called deception. You really do start to think it's okay. You really start to believe you can have that part of your life. And interestingly, most of the time, especially if someone has they're walking with the Lord pretty good, if you have a pretty good walk with the Lord, you're close to God, most of the time you don't wake up in the morning and the enemy says, hey, why don't you go ahead and totally blow it today? Okay. No, it's not like that typically. It's a little bit. Oh, this little thing won't hurt. You can take that step towards that. You can handle that. You're not going to do anything bad with that person. You just want to kind of talk to them. They understand you better than your mate does. But you know better not do anything more than that. Right now, you're just going to talk with them a little bit. Oh, you can watch that stuff because you can filter it out. You know it's not good. It won't impact you. You can handle it.
Oh, you can get back with those old friends. They won't draw you into it. You have your boundaries now. And it's slow and it's subtle and you take steps. And all of a sudden it's like, huh, what happened? How did I get here? What have I done to me? My marriage? My family? And you find yourself saying those things. What have I done? How did I get here? It's called deception. It's a lie. For Satan is the father of lies. But I've said it before and I'll say it right now again. No matter how juicy the worm looks that the enemy dangles in front of you, please know there is always, always a hook in that worm. Always. And he's not going to dangle a dried up, old beat up worm. Of course it looks good to the flesh. I mean, you go fishing, what do you put on your hook? Oh, I think I'll put a rock on there and see if it catches anything today. I think I'll put an old dried up leaf on there and see if I can. No, what do? You get the best lures. You ask everybody, hey, what are they biting today? You know, oh, they're biting cheese. I'll get some cheese. I'll put some cheese on there. Whatever it takes to catch the fish. And of course, he dangles something that seems to look good, and that's going to be the answer, and I can handle it. And then, hunk, before you know it, you're caught. And devastated and crushed, and the ripples go out all around you. So there and our sinful choices can and do bring us to the same place as they're at. But thank God it doesn't stop there. Because now we come to there and our remedy, if this is you this morning. Look at verse 19. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. When all else is gone, when all else has been reduced to nothing, remember verse 19. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Everything else may be swept away. But the Lord remains forever. Jeremiah is declaring here that God is eternal. His throne is eternal, he says. Self-help things come and go. Man-made religions come and go. All these things around us offer hope, but they come and go. But there is one who is forever, and he is eternal. And when it says his throne is forever, it means that he's forever, and it means he's in control forever. He's in charge. God always has been God, always will be God. He's in control. He's forever, and he's in control. And he has not placed a help wanted sign on his throne and went and gone fishing. He will always be there, and he's the one we must do business with if we're going to experience renewing and restoration. So what is Jeremiah's approach in this circumstance? Well, we already pointed out the first thing. Way back in verse 1, we pointed out he prays. Oh, Lord. He looks up now. He prays. That is always the best approach. Go to God with it. Too often we're prone to do everything but that. But it will profit us nothing. Don't try to defend why you did what you did. Don't try to blame others. Well, if they hadn't, if this and the other and this hadn't, I wouldn't have done it. Don't go that route. You won't win. You'll be the loser for it. Don't try to explain to God. Don't try to defend it. Don't try to blame. Don't try to excuse it. Don't try to deny it. Oh, it's not really there. I didn't really do that. And no, be open and honest with God. Go to God about it. Take it all to your Heavenly Father and just lay it out before him. Start in prayer. But remember who you're praying to. That's going to be a key part of this whole thing. If there's to be restoration and renewing, you got to remember who you're praying to. Look at verse 19. That's why it's so important. You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. That's going to be a big help if you remember that. Who we are praying to. They came to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray. Now the disciples had prayed, I'm sure, many times. They'd probably been in the local synagogues and been a part of prayer and all, but there's something about Jesus that gets their attention. And they say, teach us to pray, Jesus. So he says, okay. And you know the prayer. A prayer not meant to be spoken in a rote manner, as too often some people might fall into. But it's a model prayer, if you will. It has elements that we're supposed to understand and follow and be a part of our prayer life. And so they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus in Luke 11, 2 says, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He could have started anywhere, but he started right there. Start by addressing him as our Father. See, that's close. That's personal. The person that only comes to church, the person that's into religion and theology, but stops right there, they don't know him like that. They can't from their heart say that. See, there has to be a receiving. You have to be his child, don't you, to call him Father. Now, how do I do that? Well, isn't everybody who's born, we're all children of God? No. Paul teaches us in Ephesians, we're all children of wrath. We start out separate because of sin. Well, how do I become his child? By receiving his son. By receiving the means by which he forgives that sin and spans that gap and makes you his child. You must receive that atoning work Christ did on the cross for you. But once you've done that, then you can say, Abba, Father, our Father. A term of endearment. He says, that's what you want to be able to do. Our Father in heaven. He rules, he reigns, he's all powerful, all knowing. And then what? Hallowed be your name. Holy is his name. He's saying, acknowledge who you're praying to. His character, his nature, all you find in him. Hallowed be your name. That's why Jeremiah in verse 19 says this. You, O Lord, remain forever, your throne from generation to generation. He's basically declaring God's sovereignty in the whole thing. And all that he finds in the Lord, Lord, we're coming to you because only you can do this. Only you have the answer. But now having declared that, Jeremiah's got a question. Verse 20. It's not a question given in the form of a shaked fist. It's not a question soaked in all this doubt, disbelief. No, Jeremiah long ago has established who God is in his life. Rather, it's a question from a child to a father who knows his father loves him very much. What's the question? Verse 20. Why? Why do you forget us forever and forsake us for so long a time? As I said in verse 1, Jeremiah is not speaking here of a literal forgetting. The tenses of the words used here are talking about a feeling, Jeremiah's feeling. It's really, he's inquiring basically, Lord, how long? How I long for it to be like it used to be. Lord, it feels like it's been so long since we were close. Since we've had that fellowship that we used to have and that you intended. Lord, it's been so long. How long is it going to be like this? Oh, how I long to have it back like it used to be. But notice, even the question of verse 20, he doesn't state that question until he's made the direct declaration of verse 19. Before this question of, Lord, how long will there be separation between us? He makes a clear statement about God's sovereignty. And then verse 21. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. Jeremiah is asking God for return to the good old days. Back when we were close. Back when we enjoyed your blessings, Lord. Maybe you're there. Lord, how I wish it could be like it used to be. Before I let these things get in the way. Before I let into my life things that now have dried me up or put a separation or I know blocks your complete work in my life. Lord, how I long to be back in that close fellowship with you. But Jeremiah understands that the good old days are only good when the people are right with God. To return to the place of blessing, Judah first has to return to God. Think of our country today for a moment. There is this great desire to experience God's blessing. And so many sing and say, God bless America. He has. He has. From the very beginning, he has. But do we see a country that has any intention of seeking God's ways? We say, God bless America, while we say, but we don't want your Bible in our schools. We don't want prayer to you amongst the children or at any kind of public event. Get that cross off of any kind of government land. On and on it goes, but bless us, God bless us. With no intention of coming back to the God who raised this country up, the God of those founding fathers. The Bible that they look to, you guys, the literature is full of proof of that. That it was this word and the God, the only true and living God, the God of this Bible that they were about and that formed this country. But how interesting. Now we're busy trying to get God out while we say, God bless us. But restoration and renewal comes from repentance and returning to God. That's true for nations and it's true for each person who has sinned. Jeremiah declares that they need to be restored. We need to be renewed, he says. You know, just this week I talked with someone, and I'm not going to say anything here that would reveal who this person is. But just this week I talked to someone, and I'm using them just because it's a good example of what I so often see. This person had made some really bad choices, and he is in the midst right now of suffering the consequences, some really rough consequences of those choices. And he called here this week, and his heart was broken, and he was crying big time. And he was saying, help me know. I need to be forgiven. I need restoration. I need healing. Oh, if I could just go back. If I could just do it over. Oh, I need to be restored to fellowship with God. Now, how I wish that was a rare phone call, but it's not. How often I encounter people, be they on the phone or on the street or walking here for appointments that I meet with them. How often those words come out of people. Oh, why? How did I do? Why did I do this? Oh, if I could just go back. Oh, if it could just be the way it used to be. Just this week, Kathy learned of someone, the person does not attend this church, but learned of someone that they've just gone through that cycle of rebellion and bad choices. And now she's reduced to a really sad condition. And so she reached out to her old friend. She's crying out for help. She wants it back like it used to be. Time and again I hear that. The effects of sin, the devastation of sin and wrong choices. He meant it for love. He meant it for your good. You thought he was trying to rip you off. You thought God was trying to keep you from something good. You thought you knew better. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. And there's those harvest times of bitterness and devastation. So maybe that's where you're at, even today. There's only one cure for Judah. There's only one cure for these I've just mentioned, and there's only one cure for you. Verse 21, turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. You got to admit that you can't do it on your own. Thank God that he initiates reconciliation. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that he sent his son, that if we would just believe. And that even as believers, if we'll just confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, he initiates it. Like he says, turn us, Lord. Lord, if you don't do this, it ain't going to happen. But he does do it. He is doing it. That's why we're looking at our text this morning. This is what he wants us to understand. Our part, respond. Do not stay stuck in your sorrow. If God's convicting you, please receive this in love, but good. It's because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to be destroyed. He doesn't want to see that thing destroy you. And so he's speaking to you. But don't stay in the pig pen, prodigal. Get up. Or maybe not even a prodigal. Maybe it's just you've got that part of your life. Let the sorrow, let the conviction have its full effect upon you. And then verse 22, unless you've utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. Jeremiah ends here with this verse where he's wondering if God has rejected them forever. But even Jeremiah knew that wasn't the case. Remember back in chapter 3, verse 22, he said, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. And there are other verses where Jeremiah does reflect that, no, God, you're not through. You promised to work and you're going to do it. So now it comes to us. And I set the decision before you. How about you? Is this what we're looking at this morning for you? You made some bad choices. You flat out sinned. Maybe you're suffering the consequences even this morning. Maybe your marriage is destroyed or it's really shaky because of your decisions. Your family's hurting. Your witness is shot. Your life, your business, your work, whatever, it's just suffering because of decisions. And you know the reason. And God's calling you to get it settled today. But maybe none of those things are true for you. Maybe everything's going okay. And you're simply waiting to be discovered. So far, nobody really knows. And the marriage is going okay. And the work's okay. And I'm okay. But you're just waiting for the shoe to drop, so to speak. The fact that nobody knows doesn't mean it's not there. And it doesn't mean that it's not going to destroy you if you don't deal with it. You go into the doctor, and the doctor takes some x-rays, and he says, hey, I got some news. There's a mass right here in your stomach. You got a tumor. But it's all in one piece, and we can get it out if we operate on you. Now, would you consider that doctor mean? Why are you so mean telling me that? No, you'd say, well, that's his job, and that's good. The Lord comes along and goes, you got something in there that's going to eat you up. If the doctor said we can get it out, you know what we do spiritually so often when God says there's something there, I need to get it out? It'd be like telling the doctor, can I just keep it? Can I just keep that tumor? Would that be okay? Everything else about me is okay. Can I just keep it? See, we got these things in our lives. Everything else is going good. Well, yeah, I got something in the closet over here, but everything else is going good, Lord. Can I just have my closet? Can I just kind of have that thing going on? Can I be into that a little bit? But just like the doctor knows, spiritually speaking, God knows, if I leave that there, it's going to eat you alive. It's going to destroy you because they don't stay there. They grow and they multiply. Sin is like yeast in the Bible. It talks about it's like yeast that gets in the bread. It permeates and rots and works all through it. Leaven. And that's what it's likened to. It works its way all through our lives. And we say, no, no, leave it alone. But God in love says, I got to get it out because I love you too much. And so, maybe what you're doing you know about and everybody else knows. Maybe it's out or maybe at least certainly you see the effects. And maybe yet the dominoes haven't begun to fall yet. But you know. And you know what it's doing or going to do. You know this morning that this all applies to you. You know you need to turn from that thing, that stuff, that person, whatever it is. You know it. And you know you need to turn back to Jesus totally. You long to have it be the way you used to be, that it used to be with him and you. You long for that. So you're sitting here and in your heart, your cry is like Jeremiah. Remember me, Lord, meaning help me, act on my behalf. I got to get this out of me. It's eating me up. It's going to get me. Lord, restore me. Renew me, Lord. Well, he wants to. That's why we're in this passage. But now it's your part. See, what did Jeremiah do? He prayed. He went to the only one who can really heal it. And remember who it is, like verse 19 says, the Lord who reigns forever. He's not his throne from generation to generation. And what does he cry out to God? Verse 21, turn us back to you, O Lord, and we'll be restored. Renew our days as of old. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to act upon what you've heard. You see, you have heard this message, but there's different ways of hearing something. You can hear something with simply your head and really miss the point of it. You can leave here today and say, oh, that was pretty good, and I learned some things intellectually, and you might shake my hand and say, oh, good message, because it got your interest, or you heard it in your head. But God intends this for the heart. I need to hear this with the heart. And you know if your heart's going, that's you, come on, that's us, let's get this straight. Come on, let's get this dealt with. Or give an opportunity to do that in just a moment. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up at this time. As they do, I want you to sit for a moment and think about what you've heard. I want you to think about if this applies to you. And I'm going to give you an offer to act upon it. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up here and give prayer if any of this applies to you. Now let me say a few things about this. First things first, if you haven't received Christ as Savior, that's where you got to start. If you haven't done that, as we enter a time now of just some worship and seeing what God might want to do in our lives, Rudy, who is our prayer captain, will be standing right over here. And if you've never received Christ as Savior, then you need to go right to him and let him know, and he's going to lead you in that time of receiving Christ. But in particular right now, I feel like God is speaking to those of us who know the Lord, but you know something's gotten in the way. You know that there's something that needs to be straightened out. And this is the time to come up. And as just that representation of coming up and saying, God, it's yours. I repent of it. I turn from it. I give it to you, whatever it might be. Now, of course, it can be hard to take that step. What are they going to think of me? Isn't that sad? We think it's so, oh man, it's so like, you know, it's going to be like so humiliating to get up. Humiliation was your sin. That's what brought to you the devastation. This is the step of healing. But what are other people going to think of you? Well, let me suggest this. If the other person thinks something else, then that's why they better get up. If someone's sitting there, look who's going forward. I wonder what he did. I wonder what she's been up to. If you think that, then you better be out of your chair the next second and be right behind them. Because that's your issue, and that's between you and God. That's in your closet. That pride is going to eat you up. But you know, we're not going to ask you to confess individually what specifically brings you for prayer. That's between you and God. But I want to pray with you and for you about this. So we're going to extend an invitation. During this song, if it's on your heart, if this relates to you, you know it's time to get that thing straight. Then do it. Truth be told, we were singing, I surrender all. Truth be told, in your heart, you were fighting it. You said, well, Lord, I can sing, I surrender some. I surrender some. Or some might be saying, I surrender most. I surrender most of me. But you know, all, ooh. Make it all. Make it all right now. Father, you are moving in our midst, and you're moving in our hearts because you love us. And I pray, Lord, you wouldn't let us stop at this point. But now by your mercy and your love, convict us and shake us and mold us and make us. Lord, have your way in this time. Let it be a time of repentance that there might be restoration and renewal and healing. Lord, have your way right now, we pray. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Why don't we all stand? If you would like prayer, if you recognize that this is speaking to you, if you want to say, this is the time of my turning around, or whatever it might mean to you, come forward during this time that we might pray for you.
Come just as you
Speaking to you, the only thing worse than coming forward and experiencing that possible response of others would be to not come forward and go out the door and still be carrying it, still be harboring it. And there can be many things, some overt, the biggies, some not so obvious, bitterness, unforgiveness, things that you know you're holding on to, but they're drying up the walk, they're separating. Don't carry it around any longer. We're going to sing one more chorus before we pray, and this is an opportunity, an opportunity. Remember, if you're coming to receive Christ as Savior, please come over and see Rudy. But those down front, you know the Lord, but you're here. And anybody else, you know the Lord, but it's time to get some things straight. Let it be now. Let's sing another chorus as we wait on Him. This a turning point for you that have come down front. Not the emotionalism of the moment, not the beautifulness of the singers. It's a heart work. But if we will simply come with our hearts, wherever we're at, but say, Lord, I confess this. I give it to you. You know it, God. You're the one stirring it up. Now, Lord, I confess it. I turn from it. If we'll just do that, He meets us there. He renews. He restores. May I share something with you? You've come down front, you're doing business with God, but each of you, I'd like to share one thing. As this week was moving through, I thought I knew what I was going to be talking about this morning. But as the week moved on, matter of fact, I even told Tim, hey, I think we're going this direction in terms of songs you might think about. Well, God began to take a new direction. By midweek, I said, you know what, forget it. He's going somewhere else with this whole thing. And He started taking me somewhere else. And even through Friday and yesterday, I was still having some trouble laying hold of it. Then as the day moved through yesterday, I started feeling like He's told me to go right where we wound up today. You know why He did that? Because of you. He knew you would be here. And He loves you, and He wanted to deal with that thing that's causing you to stand or kneel or sit right now. He wanted it to be cleared up. That's why He took us here this morning. He wanted to meet you at this point of need. Right now, He knew it. Rest in that. That's your God. And He knew it, and He wants to heal. All He was looking for, what you did right now. If you are here to say, here I am, Lord, I honestly, openly confess that I give it to you. That's all He was looking for. Remember that. He did all this because of love. and then receive it and go out and walk in it. Put your foot where he says. Walk what he says. Obey, not because you're trying to get something, but because he loves you and knows what's best. Just receive the healing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is. I count it a total privilege now just to kind of representatively pray for each one who've come down front here. Father, we rejoice in, we stand in awe of the love that you have for us. You pursue us, Lord. You did indeed know. You knew we'd be here. You know what's going on in our lives. And because you love us, Lord, you've caused your word to penetrate. You've moved by your spirit. You took it to the heart, not just the head. And you've had your way now. And you've brought us all down front here, Lord. Lord, thank you that when you begin a work, you complete it. And this right now is part of that work. And you're not going to stop now. You're not going to bail on anybody here. But Lord, this represents your continued love and care for them. Help each one, I pray, Lord. You know what this represents. Lord, only we kind of rank sin. But sin is sin. And they're here to confess it. They're here to repent and turn from it. But they're saying, Lord, you got to do it. So Lord, flood them with your spirit. Pour into those places. They open up those closets. As they give you those things they've tried to stay hidden, Lord, just flush it out. Just clean it out. Cut it all out, Lord, and fill them with your power and your love and your healing and your spirit. And may they even more so from this day on now just be a vessel fit for your use. But Lord, right now, whatever these things are that they've brought forward, help them to leave them right here now. Lord, let there be restoring and renewing because they have cried out. They've come to you. They've said, here I am, Lord. Thank you that you meet them there. May they know that in their heart of hearts. May they know that now and go forth in victory. Father, we lift them to you. And Lord, all of this really in the end, it gives you glory. It praises you. It exalts you. It's because it's all your work. And so we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we rejoice in your goodness and your mercy and your love. Thank you, Father, for each one. Wrap them up with a real sense of your presence, your healing touch. It's your awesome love. All glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. For those that have come down front, if you want any more prayer, specific prayer, there will be prayer partners, of course, by the prayer room. For all of you, may it be an awesome week of walking in and enjoying God. Relationship with Him. Don't settle for anything less. Beware of those hooks. Don't be duped. Don't be deceived. Stay right there in His blessing, the place He's called you to. Remember, renew, restore. Thank God for how He works. Father, we do pray now as we head out, Lord. You hold our days. You hold our lives. It's all about you. We thank you for that. May you find us each day, Lord, just right there, looking up, yielded, giving you praise and glory. Thank you for your work. Thank you for answering our prayers in this time right now. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close in song together.